11, John chapter 11, verse 33 through 45 will be our text. It's a little bit lengthy, but we need it to get the fullness of the story this morning. John 11, 33 through verse 45. I want to just implore you this morning, if you need help, the altar is where you're going to find it. All right, Lord's going to be speaking, but we've got to respond to the moving of His presence and be willing to bow our knee before Him. Amen. John 11, chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, notice this, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" Speaking of Lazarus. And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now this has become some sort of novelty scripture because it's the shortest verse in the Bible. But the reality is, it is a powerful statement. Jesus wept. Hey, aren't you glad that we don't have a high priest that is off and aloof, but He is very aware this morning and is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how He loved him." Some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, and for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, one of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Notice here, it was after the Lord moved that their blaming turned into believing. I want to preach to us this morning on stop blaming, start believing. Stop blaming and start believing. Would you ask the Lord to help us this morning? He wants to work. Heavenly Father, we need you in this house. Lord, you know the condition, every heart, every man, every child here, and you want to minister eternally this morning in the souls of their life. God, we pray that you would do a work right now. Soften the heart that is hardened. Make it tender before your presence and move in a miraculous way. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're about to do in this service. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. One of the most beautiful things in the scriptures is the reality that Jesus is completely God made flesh on earth. Pastor's been preaching out of the book of John for some time now, and I suppose that we will encounter these scriptures in the not too distant future. But it's a powerful story of not only the God who was made flesh, but also the God who was man. Jesus walked the earth as a man. He had friends. He had family. And that friendship was cultivated with people around him, just as you and I have friendship. And how many of us have ever been in that place where you've known of somebody, a friend, a family member that was going through it, and your spirit just ached for them. You groaned for them inside. You knew they were hurting. You knew the load they were carrying. You understood to some degree how the weight of the world seemed to be on their shoulders, and it caused pain and hurt in your own life because of the love that you have for them. Jesus experienced this. In the beginning of this chapter, the Bible gives us a story about a man named Lazarus. And the Bible gives clear understanding that Lazarus was the friend of Jesus. They were close. They dined together. They ate together. They fellowshipped in each other's homes. They were close. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to know Jesus is my friend? You know what I'm talking about? You know, I've got friends, and I'm not saying this braggadociously, but I have before, that you can name drop. You ever heard of name dropping? You know, I name drop Brother Zane Estes all the time. All right, I'm not, and I tell him that. I think it's hilarious. I say, you know, and people will be talking about Brother Zane, and they don't know that I know them. I'm like, you know, I kind of introduced him and Sister Erica. I'm just saying, you know, a name dropping. It's good to have friends, right? And some of you guys, you have friends that you're just thankful for, and when their name comes up, it makes you feel good, right? When somebody tells a story about them, that's my friend. You know what I mean? Like it's not a prideful arrogance. But it's joy. Thankfulness. That's my friend. When somebody talks about Kenneth Cruz, oh, that's my friend. It doesn't matter where I'm at. Kenneth Cruz is and will be my friend. Right? That's how Jesus was with Lazarus. Jesus felt the same way towards Lazarus as Lazarus felt towards Jesus. You're my friend. I love you. I care about you. And Jesus is out ministering and Lazarus gets sick. Nowadays, if somebody's upset or sick or whatever, that something's going on, you can know instantly. You know, you snap them, text them, direct message them, whatever it is, but you can get a hold of somebody quickly. But back in the day, you know, it took a little bit of time to get the news to them. And Jesus and the disciples are out ministering, and Lazarus gets sick, and it's bad. And so Mary and Martha, who are also the friends of Jesus, and they're Lazarus' sisters, they send for the Lord, and they say, you got to come right now. You got to come right now because he's sick. And if you come right now, I know everything will be fine. And Jesus doesn't come right now. You see, there's moments in our lives where we begin to think, because we have been close to the Lord, that he's just going to come right now, right when I want him to. I mean, you said you're my friend, Lord. You said you're my friend, and I need you now. I need you to stop what you're doing and just move how I want you to move. Right? Because you're my friend, God. And you know what? He is. But Jesus doesn't move. You see, we find here that a tragedy actually happens in the midst of time. By him not going that very day, Lazarus dies. And Jesus says, we're going to wait a few days. And the disciples, they don't know what's going on. And Jesus says, hey, we're going to go over here to where Lazarus and them are because he's sleeping and I must wake him. And sometimes the Lord would use stories that just went over the disciples' head. And they said, well, why do you got to go wake him up? Let somebody else wake him up. He said, no. It's a sickness or it's a sleep that is serious. I need to go. And they said, well, we still don't understand. He said, point blank, Lazarus is dead. I mean, this is his friend. And they're not getting it. He's dead. And I'm going to go. and I've got to do something. You ever been in a place in your life when tragedy happened and you could not understand why Jesus didn't move right when you thought He should have? You ever had that place when you couldn't figure out why He didn't stop it from happening? I mean, I did some counseling this week. An individual that was just pouring their heart out, and they said, God hates me. If He didn't hate me, then He would have stopped it. If He didn't hate me, then He wouldn't have let it happen. That things would have been different. And I had to remind them that God doesn't hate them, that God loves them. But it's hard to be reminded of the closeness of friendship when you are hurting at His absence. Right? His absence did not erase His love for them. The Bible tells us, and I believe it's the fifth verse, Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. It tells us that. And then the Bible gives us a clear indication that as He gets to where He's going, Martha doesn't even wait for Him to come to the house. She runs to meet Him and she says, Lord, she's still got a connection. She could have said, what's going on, Jesus? But she didn't. She still recognized His authority in her life and she says, Lord, if You would have been here, he wouldn't have died. You said You loved us and it still happened. You said You're our friend and that You care about us and yet He's still dead. You said You loved us, but You didn't come when we wanted You to come. If You would have been here, He wouldn't have died. And that's where we pick up our text. Jesus was weeping. You see, they're blaming Him. Jesus didn't make Lazarus get sick. Jesus didn't cause Lazarus to die. And we have a lot of things happening in our world today. And even this morning, my heart is heavy for our nation. For the things that have happened this week. God didn't cause that. God didn't cause the bad things to happen in your life. God did not stand in the corridors of heaven like a puppet master and move His hand over things so that bad things would happen to you. That's not what He does. But the reality of the fallenness of our world and the ravaging death that has followed after sin has led things to happen that are not comfortable for us, that are not good. The things that happen in our life that cause pain and heartache, and we stand here wondering, where are You? If You would have been here, it would have never happened. Jesus is saying, listen, I know that it happened. That doesn't mean I don't love you. But I'm about to show you the power of Christ in front of you. You see, Jesus tells Martha, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. He says, Martha, do you believe? Or first off, he says, you know, she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And he said, Martha, your brother shall rise again. And she says, oh, well, Lord, yeah, I know that. And the resurrection at the end of life. Yeah, I know that. You know, I get that. He said, no. Your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Your brother is going to rise again because I am here. And many of us, under the sound of my voice, you have faced things that you have literally felt like things, parts of your life have died. Jesus would remind us that He is the resurrection and the life. He is able to renew the burden of ministry. He is able to revive the dreams that have been stolen. He is able to renew the heart that has been broken. He is able to revive the emotions that are jaded. He is able to give peace to the broken life. He is our life and the resurrection. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Stop blaming, Martha. Start believing. It's not very much longer, though, that Martha goes and he tells Mary, her sister, the master wants to speak to you. She gets up from where she's at, and being the custom of the day, many folks had gathered there to help them as they grieved and as they were in sorrow. And so the company that she's with, I mean, Mary just, she darts out. And they said, oh, she must be going to the grave to weep. No, she's coming to get to where Jesus is at. But isn't it interesting that when she gets to Jesus, she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And you know what's crazy? They're probably not wrong. If he would have been there, he probably would have healed him. But they could not understand the plan that he had. You see, it wasn't just about Lazarus at this point. Jesus' plan was for the people that were with them to grieve. You see, many times in our lives when we are facing tragedy, everything becomes about us. How I feel, how my emotions are, how my spirit, my body, whatever I'm facing, everything becomes about me. And Jesus is letting Mary and Martha know, yes, I love you. I love your brother. We see the evidence of that. He's weeping. He's groaning in his spirit. But the whole time, Jesus is literally about the total picture. And he says, if you just believe, Mary, you're about to see the glory of God. Amen. Jesus wept. He followed them to the tomb. And he begins to pray a prayer that seems a little out of place. But yet, it's significant. He begins to talk to his father. Lord, Father, I know that you hear me. There's no disputing that. I know that. Jesus wasn't praying this so that he had to be reminded. He was praying this prayer so that Mary and Martha and the people could know he's been in communication with the Father the whole time. Jesus was never without connection to his Father. Amen. And in our situations, sometimes it seems like the power's gone. The connection's gone. You know, Lord, where are you? Amen. Could you not have stopped it? Amen. Could you not have changed it? He's reminding us this morning, he knows where we are. He's praying to the Father. This is a clear example to us of what shall come. For the scripture tells us that he is our advocate standing in front of the Father for you and I. This prayer was an example of what would be coming, not just for that day, but for eternity, that he should be our advocate, taking our needs and our petitions to the Heavenly Father. And he says, take the stone away. I want to ask you this morning, what is the Lord trying to move out of your life so he can heal? That you won't allow him to get moved out of your life? You see, he's not going to call Lazarus out of the grave until that thing gets out of the way. And Martha, you know, I understand this, the physical nature, that body, you know, they're not embalming then, and there's, you know, it's decomposing, and she understands that, but she does not yet still see what the Lord is about to do. He is telling them, take the stone away. I cannot do the work in Lazarus' life that needs done until this thing that is blocking me from him moves out of the way. And he didn't move the stone. He could have, but he had them move it themselves. And that is an example of you and I bringing those things, those feelings, those emotions, those hurts, those pains, and moving them out of the way, leaving them at the altar, and inviting Jesus, the resurrection and the life, to come in and heal what is broken and maybe what has died. Take the stone away. Lord, he stinketh by now. I know he does, but not for much longer. I know that there are times in our lives when things get moved out of the way before Jesus heals, and it opens us up to things that are still raw, or even some attitudes and some hurts that are stinky. Right? And when we get to that place where we're not going to forgive them, I'll never forgive them. I'll take it to the grave. Oh, that attitude begins to stink. It's deadly. It's an indication of things that are dying. I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to get past my anger. I'm never going to get past the bitterness. I'm not going to allow the hurt to change. No, God wants to take the stone away and then He'll take care of what's dying. And He screams, Lazarus, come forth. I heard it said before that the reason Jesus called Lazarus' name individually is because he had enough power that if he would have said, come forth, every dead person in that grave would have probably came out. And so he was individualizing it. Lazarus, I'm talking to you. Now, I don't really know if that's the case or not, but I thought that was pretty nice. You know what else it tells me? It tells me he knows how to be specific with us. Now, this morning, the Lord's been moving in this service all across the house. And many of you are facing things. If you would just be real honest, you need the Lord to call your name this morning specifically to come to Him. You feel bound? Feel like that thing's killing you? The heaviness of the grave clothes are already set and it's starting to stink a little bit. You need to hear the Master call your name this morning. And I'm convinced that when we begin to believe on Jesus Christ and the glory that comes with Him, we will see He is still able to call forth individuals whose souls are spiritually dead or dying, able to call forth individuals whose emotions are dead and hardened, whose hearts are weary, whose lives are broken. We serve the resurrection and the life. He showed us not only with this story, but also with His own life, for He was able to take the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I do not believe that was a struggle. I believe He took it with all authority and power because He is in charge of who we are. He knows what you have need of this morning. He wants to give you life. He wants to give your life a resurrection. He wants to heal your life this morning. He knows what He wants to do. He knew what He wanted to do with Lazarus. You see, here's what happened. I want us to go back, Brother Dearth, to verse 45, and then we'll close. Sister Tricia, go ahead and get ready with the music, if you would. Then, when? After Lazarus comes out of the grave. Got a whole crowd of people here, and they still aren't believing. But it's hard to deny when a dead man comes walking. Right? It's hard to deny the power of Jesus Christ when a life that is bound up, jaded, broken, and spiritually dead finds themselves made new at an altar. It's hard to deny the power of the resurrecting Christ. It's hard to deny and not believe when a life that's been addicted to drugs and alcohol finds themselves set free and liberated by the power of Jesus Christ. It's hard to deny, amen, that He is in the saving business when somebody that's been abused, rejected, hurt, misused, finds love, healing, joy, and peace under the power of Jesus Christ. I said it's hard to deny when you know what He did in your life and what He did in my life. That's why they believed. Because they saw it for themselves. And Lazarus came forth and they said, loose him and let him go. Why? He's not dead anymore. This morning, God wants to loose some people in this house and let you go free walking and really knowing what life is all about. Too long you've allowed death to settle in your spirit. Too long you've allowed the grave clothes to wrap your emotions in your mind. I'm talking about the Savior. He's here this morning. He walked in the pew. He's sitting down next to you. He's about to call your name and He wants to loose you. Stop blaming Him and start believing Him. Because He's here this morning to give life and life abundantly. Glory to God. Stand across the house. This is an altar call for everyone in this house. It's time to to respond. You need to come right now. We use these steps as an altar. I want everyone in the house, you need to come. You need Jesus to help you. We need God to move all across the house. Come and find that He will loose you and let you go free. If you need Jesus, you need to come with these right now. Don't sit back any longer. Allow the Lord to set you free. I've heard it too many times. Oh, He can't save me. You're not greater than Jesus Christ. He can't deliver me. You're not more powerful than Jesus Christ. My sin's too great. Your sin is not greater than Jesus Christ. For where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. This morning, He will loose you and let you go free. He can loose your mind. He can loose your heart and your spirit. He can loose the bitterness. He can loose the anger. He can loose those chains that keep you. He wants to set you free this morning. Come to Him. Come to Him. Find Him. He's here. He's here. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Oh, lay that thing on the altar. Lay that stone on the altar. Let Him have access to your heart. Don't wait any longer. Don't keep pushing Him away. He's here this morning. Oh, He's reaching out to you. Can you hear Him? Can you hear Him? Oh, don't push Him away. Don't push Him away any longer. Hallelujah.